Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and hello and welcome to that genie bottle in cyberspace, the cultural salon in the cosmos, Madame Perry Salon. I am your host, your groove mistress, and your spiritual advisor, Madame Perry, but you can call me Jan, Jennifer, JP, Perry. I'm just happy to be here and happy that you are here with us. And I am also thrilled about everything that's been happening on the show, things that are coming up. It's like we took a break for a little bit and then come back just raring to go. Last night we had Zeta, the musician and writer, and interesting to have I've also met a lot of musicians that have also written fiction. If you're into 80s punk, or remember the Stranglers, Hugh Cornwell, he writes a lot of fiction, as well as well, I'm going to move on from that because I'll get a long list and everybody's going to say, why didn't you ask? Why didn't you mention me? And let's see who. Oh, we had Dewan Williams on recently, filmmaker and producer. That was fun. Got lots of cool stuff coming up. Don't forget our friend Bruce Sudano, who's been on here a few times. And you may know a lot of his songs and don't know that he wrote them, but you do know the ones he wrote with his late wife, Donna Summer, like Bad Girls. And he's got new music coming out. Oh, my gosh. Bruce is a powerhouse of music, and we're going to have him back soon. I think it's something, Telling Ugly Truths and Pretty Lies. Yeah, we're going to have Bruce back very soon. But tonight, one of our favorite guests returns. And, folks, I'm hearing you. I'm listening to you. Thank you for all the texts you sent me about tonight's show. Definitely. Let's get going. This lady was on a couple months back with some delightful children's books. Gorgeous artwork, magnificent stories, just totally enchanting. Now she's back with something a wee bit different, something for the grown-ups in the group. And we are ready to welcome back here. She's got her own special pillow in the genie bottle. The magnificent, the enchanting, the exquisite Emily P. Bush. Welcome back, Emily.
Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, we are thrilled to have you back, and people are asking all kind of questions. And I don't know where to start except that I do have to mention one person who's been messaging me here and who is a very important person to me. Her name is Dina Jo Dropman. She... I don't know if you know her, but she and her husband, they are the owners of Wild Wild West Con.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so.
You were just out there. You went on out there this year, didn't you?
Yeah, yes. There's a couple of guys there, James Spring and James Breen, kept on at me, and then they finally taught me to come out saying, you can do a presentation about podcasts. That was in 2017. And since then, it's been like the movie, same time next year. I am there.
I love it.
Every year to see my lovely, lovely people there that I adore. Never felt so welcome in my life. So
maybe you and I should
Gina.
Go together next year. Let's go together.
Well, I'll be there. So, yeah, come on. Come
All right,
on.
Let's do it.
Okay.
I always wanted to go to Wild Wild West Con. I have a couple of good friends who love it every year. And, you know, it's just one of those moments where you go, all right, I'm going to pull the trigger on making a decision here, you know. It's kind of like that about this, you know, when I decide to do a thing, you know, this whole book, I decided I was going to do it from the ground up and do some of the aspects of this book that I've never done before. And it's like, you just make up your mind to do it and then you get on with it. First you wish for it, then you work for it.
Oh, okay. I like that. You're going to put that on a T-shirt?
a tattoo on my forehead so I see it every day.
I'm with you there, sister. So, okay, so, yeah, so thank you, Dina, and everyone else, and Jane Springer, all my other steampunk fans, and everyone who's listening. We are going to get right into the story with Emily P. Bush. So, your newest work, and I have to say, if people are looking for it, it will be the publication date is April 2nd.
Right, right. It's coming out here in, what, 2 weeks from today?
2 weeks from today.
Is that right?
And it is,
yeah.
That is it. 2 weeks from today. And it is, yeah, put it April 2nd because you don't want anybody to think it was not going to really happen, that it was just a tease on April 1st. So, great. It's spring when new things are happening, new adventures, la, 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 la. Okay, Emily, Fables in the Key of Peak and Inappropriate Picture Book. Oh, honey.
That's right.
Your highly anticipated new work, and babies, this will not disappoint you. I've had a sneak preview because that's one of the perks of media, and
indeed.
And so let's get right into it. So you said you thought about it, you did it. Very different, and the artwork, of course, as always, you never disappoint with artwork, is just exquisite, too. It's stunning. It's gorgeous. So tell us about, did you intend, had you long thought about writing Fables in the Key of Kink? Maybe not using that title, I don't know, but have you thought about it, or had you been writing just for the fun of it?
Well,
about kink?
Yeah, well, so I guess the bird's eye view from the top is each and every one of these, and some of them are rather old in terms of, you know, I wrote some of these as much as 5 years ago, maybe more, but everybody, they're not human, they're stories, but they're part of me. So, okay, so each and every one of these stories is it's got a story behind it, right? There's someone who said a thing, or I'm leafing through the book now, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, here's the first page, the hickey from hell. Here we are, me and all my friends, divorced and middle-aged, are going out on these dating apps and finding a bunch of horny men who I think they're teenagers again, and my friend comes in July to a party I'm throwing, and she's wearing a turtleneck and a scarf. What the hell? She pulls the collar down, and it is the hickey from hell. And so, yeah, the story from this one is really great. And again, I've chosen a rhyme pattern that's different for this one. It's called an acrostic or an alphabraic because each line of the poem is a new different letter. We start and go from A, go to Z, each line of the poem. So it's got a lot going on to it, and it's light and it's silly. And then the Clit Whisperer, I'll tell you his story at some point. The Vanilla Corner of Kinky Town is definitely something that came out of a conversation of, and I'm kind of excited. In preparation for the release of this, you know, you kind of do the media rounds, but there's a podcast that's about BDSM that asked me to be on. And I'm super excited about, what am I even going to say? But I wouldn't be honest if I wouldn't say I haven't been to a BDSM leather convention, because I have. And what I saw there was kind of the inspiration for the Vanilla Corner of Kinky Town. You know where I'm standing, right? I have the Vanilla Corner of Kinky Town. And it's kind of, and as a concept, you know, when in Rome, do what the Romans do. And I can't wait to get into this conversation at some point for a little bit further into the show. Maybe when we've had a couple of cocktails. But, you know, what do you do when you walk into the dungeon and decide what you're going to do? Well, first of all, you have to ask your right question, not is this for me when you look around? Because I walked mm-hmm. through a dungeon and went, nope, a tall frosty glass of nope, and hell no. I just did that, right? But the question was the wrong question. You want to do that? No, I don't. But the right question is, what does this space allow? You know, that what do you want to do that this space can accommodate? And that's a whole new paint box when you frame the question. Too many people are limited by what they see. So the vanilla corner of Kinky Town kind of comes out of walking into that dungeon. Of course, the next page is the grammar dominatrix. And as a writer, people say things to me like, oh, would you read what I've written? I'm like, you should have picked a safe word if you're going to ask me, right, you know, to read your stuff. Each one, and there's more stories and I could go through them, but I do think, though, the perimenopausal period monster, being women of a certain age, we might could over-relate to this piece. So, yeah, there's a lot of great stuff, but every one of them comes out of, an inspiration that happened, and it's generally pretty funny. And I will say, you know, I did not do this book with Kevin Petty, who I have done all the rest of the illustrated books with, because I told him, I said, hey, you know, these stories have been kicking around for a while with me. Would you be interested? And he said, Emily, I did not sign up for flirtatious and unlawful gyrations. Okay. and I said, okay. And you know what? He does it. And, you know, for a guy who has been around the world and has done all the things in the world, you know, for as worldly as he is, he really does know best what, appeals to a child's eyes, and that is his strong suit. And he said, you know, I bless it. Go off and do what you want to do here. But then I was like, I don't know if I want to do a whole book with one illustrator. It feels like I'm cheating or something, you know. So I said, well, I knew there was, like, the perimenopausal period monster. I had seen an image ages ago. A friend of mine, Jim Stacy, do you know Jim? He's
Jim
around town
Stacy?
Here.
Yeah,
he was, Jim Stacy did.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, he drew this thing a couple years ago, and I had just written the perimenopausal period monster, and it was like five, maybe more years ago. And he had this on his Facebook page as one of those, you know, he's doing a digital drawing, and it kind of like populated as he drew, and you know, you could like time lapse it and then put it up as a thing. And I loved it. I took one look at it, and I'm like, that is the perimenopausal period monster. And it took me a long time to convince him that I had to have it for this. I mentioned it at the time, and then when I got to pulling this book together, I kind of went out there. I was trying to find illustrators, you know, from around the world. And I went back to him, and I said, please, brother, please. And we talked about it. And he said, well, I got to finish it, you know, because it was a throwaway when he did it. But I loved it to my core. And I will tell you that original illustration kind of set the ball rolling with, I want one image. And I also was kind of looking for, you know, definitely people. So, okay, and feel free to laugh at any point in this one. But I went out to hire an illustrator groups, you know, and I said, here's the project I want to do. I want people who have slightly kinky illustrations. And I tell you what, I learned a thing when I said, show me what you got. I had more boobs and penises in my inbox than I could imagine. I was like, whoa. And I realized something. There is a huge difference between a still life of genitals and an illustration, right? Because I looked at some of these and I said, these are lovely, but they don't tell a story. The images themselves do really need to tell a story. And so that became a challenge to go, nope, I don't need more boot. Nope. Oh, my God, no, not that one. But I'm trying to walk a line here that's kinky but not obscene.
Yeah.
You know? And again, illustrations. And that's why I really love the Vanilla Corner of Kinky Town. This young woman from the Philippines who I found dove in head first and created, and I just let her go. I didn't tell her what I wanted, but she came up with this illustration that is, Lord, I hope they get done with this axe murdering in the neighborhood before. Can you hear all the sirens in the background? Anyway,
no.
She made this whole, oh, good, then noise-canceling headphones really work. She made this beautiful illustration that is looking at the corner of a sidewalk building block, right? And you, to the left and to the right, there's porn stores and Blu-ray DVDs and sex toys and peep show and smut in giant letters, right? And right in the middle of this corner, she put a Hello Kitty store. And I'm thinking to myself, there is nothing more vanilla in this world than a Hello Kitty store. And so she sent me the initial drawing for this, just a little quick sketch, and I died, and I just said, that's perfect. That's absolutely perfect. You know, so I loved it, and you know, and these weren't volunteers. I paid them, you know, because that's the right thing to do. But, yeah, and then, of course, you turn the page, the next page, it's this beautiful shibari in words of a beautiful platinum blonde woman, shoulders and hands, and all the ropes are words for the grammar dominatrix. And it, too, nothing like this cute little fuzzy thing. It is black and red and dark, and honestly, it's one of those shady places in the dungeon where I said nope. And here it is, the next page in the book. So each two pages is its own, you know, whole deal. You could just open this book anywhere, and it's the whole deal on you know, just take it a piece at a time. It's really great. I've lost the thread. Ask me a question.
You know, yeah, this is all over. And let me tell you, and I'm getting texts from people. Was that menopause? No, menopausal. But I think this person knew it and was just messing with me. Oh, and here's another thing. We mentioned Jim Stacy. You know, back in, probably late 80s, early 90s, back when cable TV was a thing. And I had a TV show on there, and Jim Stacy's band was a guest on my show once, and I remember because I had never heard the song. They did, one of the songs they performed was "You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch." And
nice.
He's just fun. Oh, he's hilarious. He's brilliant. But also, I was going to say, if you're listening live right now, and this is March 19th, 2024, 8:17 p.m. If you listen to this, it's a live broadcast. You can call in and talk to Emily Peebles. You can call the number 646-716-9922. That's 646-716-9942. Or if you've got you're in a place where you can't make a phone call, you can just send me a text message on Facebook through Madam Perry Salon or Jennifer Maudette Perry, which is easier because the other one gives you a "we have gotten your message and we'll get back to you" kind of thing. So please do call in if you want to. And if you're listening to it just on Blog Talk Radio Live or get your replay on Blog Talk Radio, we have a slideshow on there that has several of these photos. So you can get a few. I think Welcome to Kinky Town is definitely on there. I love that.
Awesome.
Let's see.
Good.
My buddy James is saying, LOL, slightly kinky is a risky term. and let's see. Oh, you know, when he says the slideshow is great. And he says, tonight the streams are breaking up for a little bit for some reason. Well, James and all the other people that have let me know, Kenya, Megan, Judy, Rick, that's because she's in her car in the airport, Hartsfield International Airport, I believe, in her car doing the show on the phone. So once in a while it might break out, but I'm getting the message from people that it's still hilarious, they're loving the show, and that it's all working out. I also got a message
Groovy.
From one of our favorite people. And talk about, I don't know, slightly kinky. She's also, this woman never ceases to amaze me, and I've only known her a short time. She's also doing burlesque now. The fabulous.
I know who it is.
Yes. Who is it? Let's get it pronounced.
It's Jenny Norrin.
And she says,
who?
Do you know
yes,
I'm
ahead,
one of the illustrators?
She is.
She says,
in fact, she illustrated the biggest story in the book. She did,
well,
and she did a knockout. She knocked it out of the park.
That's her
style. Yeah. And I definitely, she and I have talked about it. We're going to have some stickers. And I definitely want to get her caterpillar, and her spider is so sexy. Oh my God.
Ooh.
And again, this is one of those things where the illustrator really makes the story, right? Because these pictures, it's funny how this became collaborative. There was a couple of, like, I sent her the text, which wasn't absolutely finished when I sent it to her, and we went back and forth a couple of times, and then she shows me what she's got, and then I make a couple little changes to the text, and this is why I love working with Kevin, because sometimes he and I would just, you know, we write by categories. He'd be like, Emily, in the next story we're going to do, I want to have cityscapes, I want to have a mechanical mouse, I want to have trains, and I'm like, okay, I can come up with something, I'm sure, give me a minute. But I mean, it makes the writer, who in children's books, let's be honest, I'm sort of the lesser of the two pieces, you know, the illustrations are everything for children because they're so visual, right? But you know, it makes me up my game in order to, you know, I can't just be rote, I have to be flexible and intuitive. And Jenny Norrin, bringing this full circle, Jenny Norrin's the same way. She has so many talents, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, you know, she's been a graphic designer professionally for a very long time for the state of Kentucky. And this little bit of kinky watercolor here, I mean, a completely different medium, and she's knocked it out of the park. The colors, the shape, the texture, I'm floored. It's fantastic.
And with all her talent and all that she does, and like I said, I still don't see how she does everything she does, because I know she's younger than me and her parts are newer, but still, that she does a lot. she's...
I did not snort. I was a close run thing, though.
Snort's a good thing. That's a barometer for me. That means it was really good. She is the nicest person. You know, she makes everyone feel welcome.
Yeah. She's gracious as all get out. She really is. And wonderful hostess.
Uh-huh.
And she's got quite a collection of art. She's got some taste. Her home, if you've ever had a chance to visit it, she has some not small works of art in her house. And I feel like she lives in a museum, but she's got an Egyptian bathroom. It's fantastic.
Oh my gosh.
She's got amazing taste. Amazing taste.
Oh my God. Well, listen, we got a again, if you want to talk to us, say hello to Emily, 646-716-9922, and we have someone here. By the way, do you remember a place in Atlanta called The Dungeon? I believe it was called. It's an S&M club.
Yeah, well, there's a couple of them, but yeah, there's
I think this was on Cheshire Bridge or something like that.
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few in town.
Okay, this is way back. All right. Well, let's see. We're coming in. Welcome to the Genie Bottle of Madame Perry's Salon. Come in, get comfortable, and say hello. It's dark in here. You'll have to tell us who you are.
Is this me?
I think it is.
Hey, I know that voice. Hello, baby doll. Hi, how are you? This is one of the fantastic artists we had. Yeah. I'm going to tell you about Tim next, okay? But Tim, I tried to get Tim to come on the show, but I'm like, come on, other artists are going to, like, probably pop by. Probably. You should come by, too. So, Jenny, you popped by.
I had to. I was down in the studio, and I was like, no, these are two of my favorite people. I got to come up to the salon with my cup of tea and say hello, and brag on my awesome friends. So.
Well, we were just bragging on you here for a little bit, but
I was telling them all how you.
Oh, good. Well, every bit of it was true. Yep. How did you feel about that? I mean, we talked about this for a long time, you and I.
Mm-hmm. I think she's talking to you.
How do you? Yeah.
Like,
I'm talking
feel
to you.
Feel about Jim. What in? No, feel about what in general?
Well, I know you've done some other illustrations. Jen has a very talented dad, and he's written the thing, and she's done like 26 illustrations for his book, right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yes.
And that's a whole other medium, too, because it was pencil, you know?
It was.
another set of medium. But how did you feel about, like, hey, come and take a walk on the kinky side?
Oh, gosh, I loved it. Well, for me, I think Emily picked the perfect story because I'm such a nature nut, and it was so much fun. I mean, if you had seen, I have folders of just pictures of spiders and butterflies and flowers, and so when I did the illustrations working on the shadowing, and I still have, like, these crappy little pencil sketches I showed Emily. I'm like, Emily, what do you think about this? And Emily, what do you think about that? And seeing the images flesh out. Like what I thought was fun is researching Shibari rope binding, because I thought, well, if this spider is going to be tying up this butterfly, well, she's not just going to cocoon her. There's got to be something kinky like Shibari rope binding. So I did some research, and one of the illustrations you can see, she's actually tied up like in Shibari rope binding. So I learned some stuff myself, and it was a lot of fun.
Can you school us for a second? Because I don't know what Shibari rope binding is.
So Shibari appears twice in the book, once with the butterfly being tied up and the other one with the grammar daughter Matrix. But it's basically art on the body in rope.
There you go. That's perfect.
Mm-hmm. Ooh. My sister just joined me in the car.
She's
arrived here in Atlanta. That's why I had to come to the airport tonight. We're going to be back here tomorrow morning. We're flying out for a funeral in the morning, but we're here. I haven't seen her since Christmas, and I'm happy to see her. Yeah, I don't think I have. Yes, there he is. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so hi, sister.
Hello.
Okay, there we go.
Hi, sister.
Yay. Yeah. So, yeah, she's graciously like, yeah, I'll just sit there while you finish the podcast. It's fine. Yeah. Yes. So have you done any Shibari, Jen?
Me? I actually have. Years ago, there was a group in Lexington called Dames of Leather Lexington, and it was a group for women, a safe space for women and people identifying as women to explore their sexuality. And so it was a very safe space, and one of the classes was Shibari rope binding. So we were fully dressed, and we learned about, like, you always have to have scissors in case somebody needs to be taken out of the rope right away. But there's all these safety protocols, and then learning about the beautiful art of Shibari rope binding. So, yeah, it was a really fun class because it doesn't always have to be about sex. I mean, this to me was a very beautiful art form.
Yeah, very beautiful.
Okay. Yeah, somebody's just sent me some pictures.
It's kind of like a... What? Oh, they sent you some pictures. Oh, that's good.
So
and it's
kind
of doubly beautiful because it's the gift that keeps on giving. Once, I don't know, how do we feel about the term rope bunnies? You know, the ones who are constantly the ones being tied up. There's a really neat thing that happens that after the ropes come off, there's the impressions of the ropes on the skin, and that lasts for a time, a fairly decent time, too, because it's not like it's caused abrasions, just like, you know, when you sleep on the corduroy pillow, it leaves a mark. And some of these are as lovely as the ropes themselves, is the marks they leave behind. And, of course, I think if you're doing it right, the next day you'll never know, because if there are marks that last to the next day, then nobody's really proud of that, I don't think. Am I wrong? I don't know. But different strokes for different – oh, no, different ropes for different folks.
That's what she said? Sorry, I had to. That just I had to say that.
It's appropriate. I mean, it's Madam Perry had to put a rating on this particular podcast tonight.
Oh,
so
my.
I feel like –
So,
which is funny because my son, who contributed to the book, my son is one of the illustrators, isn't old enough to be on the show tonight. So he's a contributor, but he can't call in. You know, I'm like, oh, the world is not a fair place. Oh, well. But I couldn't be prouder of him either. For a kid 16 years old, he did a beautiful job with what I asked him to do. So and he wants to be a professional artist. So
wow, yeah. So mm-hmm. like I said, I went through the trouble of making this rated show. So don't waste it. I don't want anybody to check it out later and go, oh, let me hit that, and then go,
Okay, here we go. Damn shit, Christ on a bike. Okay, there we go. We've got covered.
Yes. Oh, yes. Okay,
I got my money's worth. Thanks.
I tell you, yeah, exactly. I wonder if they got their money's worth. You know, I tell you, this has been only like for rock stars, usually, do I ever, or certain bestseller authors, do I ever have people let me know that they're lined up, sitting, and waiting for the show. And they'll start saying, okay, we're here, we're ready. And it's like, tonight is one of those nights. And
great.
So, and people are sort of saying, okay, the different ropes line, they said, LOL, priceless. And then somebody else said, oh, do we need an After Dark adult episode? Hey, well, you know.
Yes, we do. We must have this now.
Yes. Must make it a regular feature. Who knew it would be so fun? Well, of course, everyone did.
I'm ready for some questions from these fine folks. I want to hear them.
Okay, come on. Okay, all you people, give me some questions. The person that's sending me the pictures of the ropes, says, yes, we do need adults. Send me some questions for Emily. Not you. Sorry. I've got these dogs, and they're like, when it comes to the show, they can be quiet, but when I get on the air, it's like mafia. It's like, oh, see, you got a good show tonight. Nice guest. A lot of promotion. It'd be a shame if something happened and nobody could hear it for the bargain, so I got to bring a stack of dog treats for them so that little mafioso corgis. Anyway, okay, there you go. All right, question. Okay, here's one. Do you still take art submissions for the next book?
Well, that's a very good question. Yeah, I think so. I feel like this was so much. Well, and again, it took me 5 years to write this one. I mean, slow down, people. No. You know, that was funny about my first book when I was doing some conventions with it, which is now I realize it's been more than 12 years. And I went and I did a talk, and somebody said, oh, my God, I loved your novel so much. I read it in one day. And all I could think, that little quiet voice in the back of my head went, it took me a year and a half to write. Slow the hell down. But and then you kind of mentally, that little voice slaps the rest of you, and then the words thank you come out of your mouth. Because you have to remember that's that part of that thing. But, yeah, I have a feeling, though, if I start to get some art, I may want to, much like I do with Kevin, like, you know, let's do this by cat. Okay, I want to write a story now about this particular still life of genitals piece, you know, or whatever
still
it is.
Still life of genitals?
Yes. Well, I mean, here's what happened, right? I went out looking for artists for this. Did I say this? I don't even know. I went out looking for artists, and, you know, you say, hey, I'm working on a slightly kinky project. Show me what you got. Big mistake, because all I got was boobs and penises in my inbox from that point on about, like, here, let me show you this guy's junk, you know? And and a lot of it, I learned a very important lesson about illustration. You really, there is a difference between a beautiful artwork that is the human form, but that's just basically a human still life. The illustrators I found and I cultivated and I talked to, and there was a whole lot of work that was, you know, just to make sure that I was going to get an illustration, something that tells the story along with the words. And that's an important thing I learned during this process. And it also taught me how spoiled I am with Kevin Petty. You know, he is prolific and speedy, talented, witty. I mean, his illustrations, his paintings, which illustrate stories, they tell stories visually. And he is, I'm super blessed, you know, to have found a partnership with him. I'll be real upfront about that. Y'all stay away. I saw him first. No. I'm just kidding. He's working on some really cool projects as well. And we've got stuff lined up for the fall and into the next year. So don't you worry. We're going to, the dynamic duo here is going to keep going. But we're churning out a lot of product independently and together. And it's, I'm thrilled.
All right. Well, you know, I've got word that, look, she slipped out the back door. Jennifer Noren said she's back in the studio, I think, because you just inspired her so much she had to get back to the studio now. And she said,
Getting her to quit making art is the trick. I mean, she's constantly making, headdresses and costumes and you know, all the stuff she paints and draws and all that. It's like, it's impressive. Her volume of work is impressive.
I got a letter from her, like an actual mail, in the mail letter card, and she had a drawing on the front of it. And I was just so going, she drew on this. I took a picture, sent it to people, and, it not only was it beautiful, it just made it feel so special. But anyway, she said she was glad. She said, I'm so proud you asked me to call, and you rock, my friend. As does Emily. I'm grateful to know the best, both of you. Well, we're grateful to know.
Oh, what happened there?
What? Are you? Can you hear me?
Oh, I lost you for a second. Oh, yeah, you for just a second, but we're fine. We're fine. We're good. Sorry.
Don't do that. Don't do that. Okay, I have another caller here, and I think this person has their own seat in the genie bottle. Emily, would you reach over and part that beaded curtain so she can come on in?
Oh, do come on in. Come on in. Find your way in the dark.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
It is Kenya bringing the hits to the party.
Hey, Kenya.
Right. Hi.
Hi,
Kenya.
Emily. I am loving this show. You guys me over here laughing out loud, and I'm at home by myself, so it does not look good when you just start laughing when you're alone.
Well, that's wonderful.
Okay. So, Emily, I have a question for you. So,
yes,
when you were deciding 5 years ago or whatever time period, like when was the moment that you said, I've actually got some good stuff here? Like, you know how things happen in life and it's just one little thing. And I heard the beginning of the show about, you know, how the stories kind of start stringing together. But what point did you get? What was the point that you got to that you said, you know what, I know I'm working on children's books, but my life is pretty hilarious. I need to put this stuff here in a book.
Well, you know, I would talk to people at parties and I would say, and one of them was that involves my son and my father. There was a point at which my dad, and this is I don't know where to start this one. So we're at a dinner table at a restaurant. My father says something and gets up and goes to the salad bar again. And my 11-year-old son at the time turns to me and goes, Mom, I'm going to tell Grandpa he's gay. And I said, no, don't tell Grandpa he's gay. We don't out other people. That's rude. And I would tell this story. And I just said some, and a couple of times, because I had written the perimenopausal period monster, and that one is a hit with the ladies of a certain age. It really is. I just got to the one about, you know, don't tell Grandpa he's gay. And it's just like, you know, the man's a colonel, you know, in the Army. And he was, and I have to tell you, he and my mother were married for 49 and a half years, and he took beautiful care of her until the day she died. And then he hemmed and hawed, and finally at Christmas, shortly thereafter, maybe it was a year, I'm not quite sure, he sat us all down on the couch and said, "I think I'm gay." And the entire family on the couch went, "We know." My sister's chiming in here because she was there, right? And it was just hilarious. I mean, my sister, she had, and I too, we have been advocates for LGBTQ+. At her school, she was the advisor for the Gay Straight Alliance type program they have there. And I, for my son, who's trans, the pandemic was happening. He says to me, I got my shot now. I want to do some pride things. Where are they? And I got out on the internet and the local neighborhood chats on Facebook, and I said, where's the pride stuff for Lilburn, Georgia? And everybody said, there isn't any, but if you do a thing, we'll all come help. And I went, and that's how I accidentally became the chairwoman of Lilburn Pride. But, we had 250 people show up to the first event that we planned in 3 weeks. There was a walking parade. There were bullhorns. There were undercover police from the county that were sent to protect us and keep us safe. And I turned to my son in the middle of all of this, and I look at him and I said, "Are you not entertained?" And he looked at me like a 13-year-old can and said, "Mom, it's too much." And I was like, "We're coming next year," and they did. So
I love it. I absolutely love it. I love that story.
Yeah, so my dad, you know, he came out at 76 years old. He did. And he's A1 now. And he's in a really great relationship with, like, the male version of my mother. I mean, I love this man like my mother because he's so much like my mother. It's like, hey, Dad has a type. There you go. There you go. The man is sweet as pie. This fellow that my dad's with is great. So, I look at my life and I go, I couldn't make this up, you know. And again, I couldn't make like the story about the cryptonymphomaniacs, right? Came because I saw a news article that said this man, a little person who lives in Ireland, and his picture was there in the news story. And you know I'm a journalist from way back, but I'm reading this news. It says, he claimed to be a leprechaun and seduced 26 different women when he said to them, "If you let me have sex with you, I'll take you to my pot of gold." Oh, my God. And I went, and I thought about it, and I thought about, you know, as I was in my late 40s, and I'm dating on online dating apps, and it seems to me like there's a group of guys out there that just seem to have a bingo card. It's like, I need a platinum blonde Asian woman with one leg amputated for my bingo card. And it's just seems kind of like how they were dating. And I put these two things together, and I came up with the crypto nymphomaniac, which is about forget dudes, I have a bingo card of imaginary creatures, right? You know, and it part of the poem says, I have my cryptid bingo card. I'll snatch them all. I'm searching hard. When it started with a leprechaun who launched this journey I am on. And it tells the story of on a rainy day, a pub in Dublin, several pints in me were bubbling, and wee old Bernie taps my knee. Down and down, I notice he, a pot of gold for you, my lass, if I can take ye up the ass. And I... Oh, it gets worse from there. But it was a lot of fun. But it's a lot of fun. And it's based on an actual guy who got arrested for this.
So,
I mean, just sometimes in life we have to take the time to laugh. And I love you're really incorporating that into your work. So it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I just want to tell you, I am loving this. I love the laughter. And I love that you guys are just so carefree. I love it.
Oh, come on, Katie. You love the kinky stories, too, like me.
Yeah, the kinky stories actually was what made me listen tonight. But I'm saying other than that.
Well, and you kind of asked the important question, Kenya, which is what you said is like, what was the tipping point? Well, I reached fuck it. I've been sitting on these stories, and I feel, and I kept saying to myself, this is not going to be good for the children's book business to write a kinky image or a kinky picture book that will be, and I was like, get thee to a banned books list, Emily, because it looks like that's the way to go. No, I just said, there's a certain part of getting older where I just say, fuck it, I'll do it myself. Fuck it, I'll do it, you know.
There you go.
Like, and then that whole dating scene, there was a whole fuck it thing too, but that's off track. Anyway,
I'm single too. I get it.
you kind of had to, shed the idea of I have to be this or I'm pigeonholed in that, and this turned out better than I could have imagined when I started. Because of the variety of people I've intersected with in making it. And so, you know, when you let yourself have the grace of saying, you know what, I'm just going to put it out there and, you know, run it up the flagpole and see who salutes besides my gay dad. And I just, you know, and there's a certain kind of courage that's always a work in progress, always a work in progress. But just let it all hang out and find your tribe. And honestly, if people mind, it'll matter. And for those for whom it matters, you know, we don't mind. So
we don't
changing
mind.
That.
But I love that line, find your courage. I love that because at some point you just got to do what feels right to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. And, but by the way, I need to stop just 1 second, and I hate to interrupt anybody, but if you're listening live tonight and just tuned in, I am talking with author Emily P. Bush, talking about her new book, Fables in the Key of Kink, an inappropriate picture book. It will be out. It will be available on April 2nd, so you know it's not a joke. Mm-hmm. If you could, I would feel like I should just start videoing all the messages coming up. Somebody says, LOL, such a great episode, and fuck it, it's a magical place. And
yes, absolutely. I think I've built a condo there and a city around it. I mean,
really?
I live now. Yeah.
Which, could you read something to us?
I feel like there's two that might be good. I'm going to let you choose which one. I've got my finger in the book here. Aha, that's what she said. I've got it in the book for the grammar dominatrix or the perimenopausal period monster.
I'm going to go with... And before I give that hopefully anticipated answer, I've got to say I'm so glad that this is a book with illustrations, the things to read, because, you know, when you get those emails, surely I can't be the only person that says, hey, we've hacked you, we've got your password, we've got videos of you watching porn, and if you don't send us money, we'll send this to everybody.
Oh, my.
Y'all never
got
that?
So what come to mind?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, after I put this book out, this will now be the equivalent of so what? Have you seen my bookshelf?
Because when I get those, well, you don't believe me. I send these to the – well, so when I get these, I always think, okay, you have video of me watching porn? Because, see, I'm old school. You know, I like to read it. And also, if you do have anybody, I got to talk to my dogs about which one of them is here watching videos and licking themselves. So anyway, let me, Tybee, get off that phone. Not now, Mom. I'm licking my butt later, okay? So
on Hubby Hugo amongst us has not looked at the dog and said, get your tongue out your butthole. Jesus, go to your room.
Okay. So the grammar dominatrix, please.
You want the grammar dominatrix. Okay. I love this one because, again, when you do the professional circuit there of writers' conferences and stuff, people are like, and I finally developed this into something that's just a lot more fun for me and the other writers. It's called Hemingway's Happy Hour. And the pros sit there, and anybody who wants to do a five-minute live read, they have to be brave enough to read their own stuff out loud to the writers because we're drinking, okay? You bring us a drink, and we'll listen for 5 minutes and give you feedback. And it has been – when I was teaching, I took this back to the classroom, too. Nobody knew I had gin in the cup, but, I mean, the students, you know, doing live critique, they got more out of live critique than any amount of – red ink I could put on a paper. So in this has come out of years of editing and being edited because I have been edited by some people. The BBC was the worst. Anyway, all right, to the grammar dominatrix. You said to proof your writing, to whip it into shape, but I'm a dominatrix, and now there's no escape. Hanging on the dungeon shelves are chains and a thesaurus. Your characters are waiting there, all laid bare before us. One-sided heroes, antagonists, and foils who fall flat. Find their third dimension. I'll instruct you, dirty brat. Your prose, pathetic pacing. It's word humiliation. I'll spank the should've out of you and then make you take dictation. When you mix your metaphors, a faux pas I just hate, I'll stretch your words wide open while on the cross you wait. Slash the scene, make a voice, bind in tight legation. Your mounting essay ecstasy gives me editorial elation. I'll place sadists to superlatives, modifiers may not dangle. I'll color up your adjectives and your passive voice I'll strangle. I have a red pen fetish, bright, bad speller's blood, a manuscript's bad metamour, I'll strip it to the studs. Each paragraph will drip with ink, all pages feel the sting. We'll write epilogues of pain with every whipping swing. You should have picked a safe word before you asked for my review. I'm the grammar dominatrix, and you'll thank me when we're through.
All right. Ooh.
Hey. Love it.
All right, and
that one is just years of pent up being edited. That's really what that is.
Well, yeah.
All right.
I had a really great editor who went through my second novel and my third novel and a lot of other things with me. And she passed away several years ago, and I stopped writing completely at that point. I took a long break thinking to my – I mean, the first time I sat down to write after she passed, and I said, she's not going to edit this. She will never edit this. And it just broke me deep down inside. And it's – the breaking, you know, when you, and again, this is the nice thing about changing things up. Love working with Kevin. Love it. But this forced me to reach in a different way. And again, if you don't, you know, some of the greatest writers of all time, I find, you know, after the seventh or eighth book in the series, they get formulaic and that can happen. So, switching it up, doing the children's book, doing the adult children's book, making cocktail recipe, you know, novels and journalism and just keep switching, pick it up, put it down, yeah, pick it up, put it down. And it, or at least for me that way, and hopefully for the people who read what I write as well. Yeah. I think a lot of these are meant to be performed.
You know what? I think so too. And I've got an idea for that I can't wait to present to you if you don't mind. But first, let me stop and say, if you just tuned in, Emily P. Bush, author. You may know many of her fabulous best-selling books, A Cold City Halloween, Volume 1 and 2. Number 2 is Witch Hazel, Chenda and the Airship Brothman, a steampunk novel from the Brothman series. Steam Duck Learns to Fly. Yes, these do all sound like children's books, and they are. But you can give your kids, your grandkids, your nieces, your nephews. Oh, by the way, Emily, you saw a picture of my granddaughters today, didn't you?
Uh-huh. They're so cute. They had a giant, what is it, a robot-y steam car in front of them. And
yeah.
Well, y'all are raising them right.
Thank you, because Kenya is the friend that recruited me to be the co-grandmother.
Oh, that's wonderful. They look like a handful. I love it.
We won't talk about the – that was from the Con Possible. But anyway, Emily Bush, and I will be telling you – I'll be sharing on all of my social media how to find her and how to get her books. And you know what? A couple of things, too. I've had all these messages. I've had people sending in laughter, but they've also said, do you attend cons? People have asked me that, and I know
yes.
you do.
Yes, I do. I do. The next con I have is the Chicago Steampunk Exhibition in about, the 12th of April in Chicago. So I've got that ahead. I was just recently at Canuga. That one I was just visiting. But, yeah, I'm always interested in being a guest at different cons. I'm just an invitation away. What else do I have? I love TeslaCon. I've been talking with some of my friends about heading out to Wild Wild West Con. And I've also done there's a great local con that I have been a guest at and visited over the years, which is the works of Robert Jordan, Wheel of Time. And that has become so, with the new TV series has become great. But here in Atlanta, if you are a writer or a reader, they take great care of authors at Jordan Con, and they have a goodly number of them. Their art show is outstanding. I haven't been in a minute, but I'm going to recommend that con. And TeslaCon always is a favorite of mine. And for writers and readers, Balticon in Baltimore, RavenCon, Balticon up that way in towards New England. Love those as well.
All right. Sounds good. And by the way, folks, if you see, I'm going to name, we don't have time now, but I was going to ask if she would read even a teeny weeny weeny intro bit of another one, The Clit Whisperer. The Clit Whisperer.
Oh.
That doesn't get I got to get my disclaimer.
Why do
that
you
got to
wait till I'm tired? Why? Why? This one's
whoa,
tough.
Whoa.
Why?
You don't have to. You can keep them home. Okay.
No, I'm teasing.
Okay. Folks, let me tell you, if she just reads just a teeny couple of lines, let me tell you, if you don't get a moist on, something is bad wrong with you. You need to get taken care of.
I'll read the first half of it, okay? Because this one's tough. This one is with my apologies to Gilbert and Sullivan, okay?
Okay.
Let's see if we can do this one. I might start singing, so be careful, okay? The Clit Whisperer. Hold on, let me stop. I took a deep breath and I regret it. Yeah, I had the flu a couple of weeks ago, and every once in a while it comes back and haunts me. Let me say, you know what? Say something again, and I'm just going to take a quick drink while you do that.
Okay, so also, like I said, Fables in the Key of Fables in the Key of Kink is available on April the 2nd. This book is and so is Emily P. Bush. So you've got to check all of these out, and I will make sure on all of my social media, not just Madame Perry Salon, but on my personal, that you know how to find these books. And also we'll let you know where, if Emily is making some live appearances, and she may do so if we can tempt her out of her, her speakeasy with the dungeon in the back. Maybe she will.
You know what happens?
I like that line.
When you have to have the special knock to get into the dungeon, it's called a spankeasy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I made that up and it stuck. I was like, yeah.
I can dig it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I thought there was a doorbell, and I touched what I thought, and it just went. just like that.
And it explodes. And then suddenly you need a shower. It's great. Okay. All right. So the clit whisperer, with apologies to Gilbert and Sullivan. He walked into the room with two suitcases and a detailed plan. He unpacked his tools, his loops, his gloves, and with a grin he then began. World-renowned, the specialist is quite the vulva serviceman from Colorado Springs down to the darkest far-off Yucatan. With all the tips and tricks he knows, his super long attention span, he's like the noble samurai with matched Hitachi in each hand. He cataloged the pussies and he studied the photography. The lips are on display and now it's plain for all to clearly see. Each woman's parts are hers alone and all constructed perfectly. And with this knowledge, she can bring her pleasure very earnestly. A clergyman of clitoris, an orgasm-raising connoisseur. This is the scholar to all womankind is the fabled clit whisperer. Okay, I took a bad run at that one, but you get the point.
Yay!
That's a hard one to read out loud. I'm going to have to practice that one before I try that again. I wasn't prepared. I didn't study for this quiz.
Yeah. Gilbert and Sullivan style.
Yeah, and all of the rhyme structures and you know, I don't do the same thing twice in here. Everybody's got their own unique meter and rhyme structure. And I like do I have a second more? Do I?
Yes, you do.
Showers, growers, and flamethrowers. I just want to talk about that one for a minute.
Okay.
I asked a friend of mine who makes a little side money drawing maps for people who do, tabletop game campaigns and things like that. And I said, you know, buddy, I would love it if you could do a map for showers, growers, and flamethrowers. And when I asked him to do that, he didn't tell me that he was going to label all the parts of the map. And it's hilarious. See, there's a trail across the map, and it comes through, and it's like – south of the happy trail, right? Then adjust your way through pitch a tent field, a slight curve at Showers and Growers Farm, and we all like a nice slight curve, handle the jungle of trouser snakes, and then it's stand erect upon Richard Bridge, cross Prick Creek, await a delight in Morningwood Inn, conquer the one-eyed beast, reach the tip of Climax Summit, and X marks the spot beneath Cock Rock. And it's just like, I saw this and I died. I was like, I had some mixed feelings because I didn't write it, you know, and I was like, I'll allow it, you know, because it's just so funny. It's really great stuff. And that's the nice thing. It's like, you know, at one point the Greenville Symphony took Steam Duck and they staged it for a children's concert. And I love the, and there's a certain point where you go, I'm sitting in the audience, right? And my words are coming out of these actors' mouths and I'm thinking to myself, wow, I never would have done this way, but I've done, let it roll. Let people, because I love covers. You know, people who cover other people's songs. But if they do it exactly the way the original artist did, then what's the point, right?
Interpretation
and collaboration is the name of the game, especially for my interest. And, I mean, if you can wow me like Tim did with this thing that I wasn't expecting, or the Vanilla Corner of Kinky Town with the Hello Kitty on the corner, you know, it's like when they can wow me, I know it's going to wow other people. And I love how my words are seen through their eyes, or I write to something that Kevin has drawn or painted, and so collaboration is always more fun, and people should be afraid of it. Go out, try some things, you know?
Not
and then
at
on the other
all.
Side of it, if you're an artist, don't be a prick about it, you know? If somebody didn't do something the way that you wanted them to, you know what? That's what art is. It reveals a lot about the viewer, too, and don't forget that.
Very true.
My final warning. Yeah.
Wow. That just you you know, you give me so many places there where I had things I wanted to say, wanted to comment, wanted to encourage, and you just bring so many ideas to mind. But this has been Oh, and Steampunk Duck, Greenville Symphony. Is this Greenville, South Carolina? And they are magnificent. Do you know my friend from Valentine Wolf, Sarah and Braxton, who live there?
Braxton's the one that made that happen in Greenville.
Okay. Are they the best people?
Braxton made that happen, and I got to tell you, I'm grateful. There's a soft spot in my heart for Braxton for the rest of my life for making that happen for me, because that was, I mean, I've had two children, and I'm thinking that day with the Greenville Symphony may have been better than one of their births. I'm not sure which one, but it's one of the...
You know what?
Yeah.
I do understand, and I'll tell you why. I got it, and it's not an insult to your kids at all. I'm sure they know that. Because I know a friend of mine, a guy that my husband works with and has for years, and I remember back when I was in college at Georgia State, and I was probably older than the parents of the other kids, the my classmates, but every time I needed a help, I'd say, you got to find me a tutor, you got to find me a tutor. And he goes, okay, this guy I work with, Jerry, his wife has a PhD. She's got a doctorate in math. But you'll have to meet her before her rehearsal for roller derby.
I love the dichotomy of people that's like that. It's like,
yes,
I'm
and
a
so,
learned
So she goes, so go meet her. Her name is Mary, and her her roller derby name is Quadratic Abrasion. And the page said her weapons of choice were a calculator and a bad attitude. But when they came to Asheville, when we lived there and were on, I remember her husband said, told me, he said, you know, the day that she, her dissertation was finished, that she got her doctorate, was the same day that she was accepted into the Denim Demons troupe. And he said, honestly, I think it was hard to tell which one excited her more, but I think it might have been the roller derby. So,
well, and of course, that's, I mean, you say that and I go, of course, because one of those was an ending and one of those was a beginning.
I can dig. Yeah, never thought of that. Saying hello to everybody, seeing Michelle, James, Dina, Larry, Kenya, everybody that's listening and sending messages. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes.
And I am to Nicole, Eddie. Thank you. And is there anybody else? I think I've got, okay, somebody else is listening. Michelle is listening now. She had come in late. I told her, if you need a good laugh, then I put in caps, good laugh, play this episode. So you're going to keep this, you know, Michelle, you can listen to this on any podcast app. As soon as this live show is over, in about an hour, we're everywhere. We're on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbean. And like most podcasters, I am also, we are also on lots of other ones that we don't even know about. Oh, Good Pod said that we were in the top 50. And so, you can find it anywhere. Emily Bush, I want to send you so much love. Thank you for being on. We wish you much success.
Oh, yes. And your lips to God's ears. There we go.
There we are. And hope to see you soon. Very soon, I got ideas.
Yes,
everybody,
please.
Fables in the Key of Kink. Now, you know my song here is called Everybody's Got a Swing. I think that's pretty fitting. Fables in the Key of Kink, an inappropriate picture book by Emily T. Get it now. I love you all. Be good to yourself. Be good to each other.
You did, jump and jive.
All right,
Bob,
love you all. Bye-bye.
Everybody's got the swing. But Mom and Bob were right on time. They helped up all your... Mother Goose.